Good morning. Patrick is with his son Jabez as Jabez interviews for a position in West Virginia. And so they have come together so that Patrick could support him in that effort. And at the same time, as you know, Jabez is a history buff, and Patrick enjoys getting into that too. So they're using this time wisely, if you've seen any of their Facebook posts. And I don't know about you, but I have really enjoyed Patrick's series this past few weeks. And it's been pretty exciting to see how he has presented some of this information, especially when you consider the fact that we are looking at these limitations and things that we're trying to deal with this COVID coronavirus baloney, excuse me, and and time and all the other things that are going on and stuff like that. But normally I get to introduce the series, and this time he says, well, I want you to close the series. So I'm kind of a little bit of a loss for that part of it, but we're going to see what we can do. If nothing has struck you through this series, if nothing has really stayed with you as Patrick has been talking to us about an unstoppable God, I hope and pray that it is the fact that God is unstoppable. I mean, there is nothing out there that can stop God from what God desires to do and what his plans are for us. No matter how stupid we are, no matter how stubborn, no matter how foolish, no matter what we do, you know, we're not even a speed bump in the plans that God has for us as a people. He created us with a purpose. He's been with us through every trial and tribulation. He's had a plan for our reconciliation from the beginning. If you read Genesis, you can see that even at the point of sin entering the world, God had a plan to reconcile and restore us. He has shown that he won't be mocked. He has shown that he can be angry and a vengeful God when it's appropriate. He has shown that he has the power to protect his people. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, you see time after time instances of where that occurs. I mean, in one instance, 187,000 soldiers that was opposing the people of Israel was destroyed in one night by one angel. And Jesus talked about the fact that if he desired, he could call down legions of angels. Think of the power. Think of the majesty and the glory that is in all of that. And even though, as I said, we can be a stubborn, stiff-necked people, he loves us. And he loves us to the point that he even has rewards planned for us, not only during our lifetime, but especially in the future to come. You know, it's unfortunate that Patrick didn't have more time last week to talk than he did. I mean, you know, we're trying to limit the service down to the hour, but I think that it would have been better if he had had weeks to talk about the aspect of God's wrath. Because I don't think that we understand, that we appreciate, and that we give back to God the reverence and awe that he deserves. I mean, we go through life doing what we please, what we think, and stuff like that, and never once give a thought about happening or falling into the hands of an angry God. We go through and do what we want to do. We enjoy life as we see it and stuff like that, never once realizing or thinking about the fact that in an instant, we could be gone. And it would all be over with. And yet God continues on year after year, century after century, eon after eon. There's an old saying that says, only a fool is stupid enough not to be afraid of what can destroy him. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of fools in this world. Some may even be sitting in this room. The problem that we have and the things that we do is that we so often and act and are not intimidated by the thought of how does our behavior, how does our action reflect back to the God that loves us so deeply. Yet with all of God's greatness, with all the power and the majesty that is His alone, He loves us. Each and every one of us, He loves us. He knows each and every one of our hearts. Matter of fact, He knows our hearts better than we know our own hearts. And yet He still loves us. He loves us so much that He allows us to doubt, to question, to even challenge Him. He loves us so much that even when we do the unspeakable, He provides a path for our reconciliation. He loves us so much that even when we try to destroy all that He created, He heals us. I think I need to adjust this. Perhaps for you guys' sake. Maybe that's a little better. But He loves us so much. And as I said, and even when we try to destroy all that He created, He heals us and He provides for our restoration. You know, it's funny, there's a lot of people that are so concerned about the earth and what damage we're doing to it with pollution and everything else. Yet, have you ever noticed that God restores the earth even after the dumb things that we do to it? You know, God is a powerful, powerful, powerful God. And in the end, He provides a reward for us that will last for all of eternity that I simply can't wait to be a part of. But wait, I must. Because of His love, He would not have anyone lost. Do you realize that? That's why we are still here. That's why we haven't seen revelations. That's why we aren't in our final reward, because God loves us so much that all of us have to wait around on the other guy who hasn't made up his mind yet. God is still giving them a chance to accept Him and to receive the blessings that He has in store for them. Now, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of blessings to have during this lifetime right now. I mean, you know, when I go through some of the stressful and things that I have to deal with, I absolutely love the fact that I have a sense of calm that God provides me. I love the fact that, you know, even when I see something as hard to deal with as Maddie, the Anderson's grandchild, going through this disease and everything else, that I can trust in a loving God to the point to know that He will be with that little one no matter what. I can have a sense of peace and comfort when I hear the fact that someone that I care about has a cancer, has a disease, has an illness, is injured. A biker who goes down, you know, because I know that God is going to be with them. And we can celebrate things. I mean, look at the fact that we can celebrate that Jack, dear Jack Myers, has turned 80 years old. I mean, you know, he's ancient now. But I love every moment of it. He has been such an awesome mentor and a blessing to me in my life. Again, a reward that God has provided me. And something that I need to be aware of and I need to be thankful for. All of you, do you realize the Christian brotherhood and the love that we have and how sometimes we come together in the time of need and the time of struggle? But along with that comes the other side of the equation. The book of Revelations, I don't know how many of you have read it, but it is a scary book. I've taught it through our Bible studies and stuff like that. Of course, I've did sermons on it and stuff, but the more I study the book, the more scary it is. Because when you see what is to come, you can see that, you know, hopefully we won't be there, we won't participate in it, but those who do will find themselves going through what will be actually a living hell of destruction, disease, death, war, pestilence, you know, things I don't even want to think of. Nevertheless, those that do participate in it are getting that one last chance that, as I mentioned, God will give because he doesn't want anyone lost. It's hard to believe that when you read Revelations and you see the horrors that are going to occur, that its purpose isn't to punish people. It isn't to hurt people. It's to prove to people that he is God and to give them that opportunity to either say, yes, I accept, or as it says, to call the mountains to come down on top of them as they refuse to believe and get what their just rewards will be in the end. However, what also makes Revelations wonderful is the fact that it will lead to the final judgment and the final reward. Holy smokes, is that small. Sorry about that. When I put it together, it didn't look that small on my computer. If you're old like me, your glasses hopefully will do you good. But it will bring about our rewards. The final reward. The scripture that's so hard to see up there says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.'" Wow! You know, when you first look at that, it says a new heaven and a new earth. After what happens in Revelations, I can understand why we would need one. Because it's going to be bad. But in the end, God takes all that we have destroyed and all that is destroyed as a result of that time and gives us a new heaven and a new earth. And it says it's prepared beautifully as a bride. Now, women, I ask you a question. What did you do and what did you feel on your wedding day? I don't know of a bride in any wedding that I have performed or officiated where the bride hasn't been dressed beautifully, that hasn't had this glow about them, and hasn't been beautiful, all for the purpose of celebrating a day when she and a man become husband and wife. It's wonderful. I see them on TV, you know, and you see these absolutely gorgeous dresses that they wear. Why? They wear it one time. They spend thousands and thousands of dollars on it. But I'll tell you what, that one day is absolutely worth it. My bride was beautiful. She wore her mother's wedding gown. And I'll tell you what, when I was standing we were in a very fancy church, very ornate. I'm standing up there and my knees were knocking, not because I was nervous, but because I saw her walking down that aisle and could not believe how beautiful she was. Now, take and put that into what God is going to present to us. Whew. But you know, Matthew and our dear brother who did our communion brought up a special word, holy. You know what's special about that aspect? as it said, that, you know, it would put apart, set apart in things because of the majesty of God and everything else. But in this scripture, it says that God will be with us. Think about that. And no longer will it be this spirit God that we can't see, touch, or deal with, but it will be a God that we will be able to see, that we will be able to talk with, that we will be able to associate with. And even though he'll still be holy, that word will change. Because now we will have a relationship with him that is unlike anything that we've had before. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death. I've done 3 funerals over the past 3 Saturdays. I have another one coming up. At every one of them, there's a tremendous amount of sadness and grief that is involved. There are tears. For some of them, it's because an individual is lost and lost forever. In some cases, it's simply because someone who is loved so dearly is no longer with them. And I understand that. But imagine the day that will come when we will no longer experience that. No one will die. You know, that was God's intention in the first place. He was never intended for us to die until sin came into the world. But who will occupy this city that he's talking about? Who are these rewards prepared for? According to Revelation 21:7, it says, "Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." That's us. That's us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ sitting in this room, that is you. Revelation 22:12-14 says, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree, the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city." You know what? As scary as that book is, when I get to this part of it, I like it. I get excited. Because it says, first of all, I am coming soon. You know, God's timing is not our timing. And I don't know if I like that or not. I don't have a choice in the matter. If I had my way, it'd be tomorrow. But by the same token, I want to see my granddaughter grow up. I want to be there when she drives the car for the first time. I want to be there for her, you know, graduation. I want to be there for her first date. You know. But and my reward is with me. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they've done. Well, maybe that's not such a cool part, but I'm thinking that for some of us, there's going to be praise and glory. For some of us, it's going to be, whew, I made it. But the bottom line is that he's coming back. And it says, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to this. You get this right as an heir. H-E-I-R. As a child of God. And just for clarity's sake, there will be some who wisely repent during the tribulation. And in it, it says in Revelation 7 that, and he said, these are those, when talking about these people, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they be hungry. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There's that phrase again. But if you go back and you look at that, you can see that, you know, that the robe that it talked about before that was washed is the robe that you received when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and the day you were baptized and came up out of that water. Because you experienced the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ through that baptism, that was the same as washing the robe that you'll now wear as you stand before God in the end, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Never again will they hunger. I'll tell you what, the one phrase in there I like a whole lot is never again will they feel the sun beating down on them. And the temperatures that we've been having for the past few days and what they're forecasting for the next couple weeks. I'm getting old or something because I don't like the heat anymore. You know, as a biker, it used to be no big deal. You'd go to parties, you'd go to events, and you'd spend a weekend out in this stuff. And it would be hot and uncomfortable. But as Larry and I were talking about it, you know, big deal. Now we were up commiserating about the fact that it is hot. And I don't like it. I can't imagine what it's going to be like during the end times when it says that the earth will be scorched. But they'll also never be thirsty. Their tears will be gone too. But I do want to bring up a reminder for those in this day and age what the writer of Hebrews had to say on this. He says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. And but my righteousness one, my righteous one, will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. There's a warning there. And the warning he's talking about, the fact, is that we need to be careful how we live, how we act, so that we don't step out of the hand of God. You know, that's the only way that you can lose your salvation is for you to throw it away. For you to walk away from God. And the consequences of which are, as he says, you know, they are eternal. And so we have to look at how we live each and every day. We have to persevere. There are some tough things that we go through. I mean, the pain that we suffer sometimes with the loss of someone that we love, like Sue Stutzman. And some of the others that have been so close to us and stuff that, you know, God has chosen to take home. There's the pain that we go through when we see someone we care about, like Trish, you know, battling the leukemia and the cancers and stuff, and how, you know, she's now on the mend, we hope. We had hope in that before, and it came back. What Doc Behrens has gone through, what some of you have gone through. We have to persevere because God is with us through every single step of the way. And if we do that, we are doing the will of God. And doing the will of God is what pleases Him. And in the end, blesses us. The righteous one will follow through and will be faithful. But there will be those. There will be those. And we see it happening every day. If you read the news, you hear about another Christian pastor that has decided that he no longer believes or that goes against what the Bible teaches as being sin and says, no, it's not, and leads people astray. The Scripture has a lot of words about what happens to the one who does lead someone astray, especially when it comes to children. And yet it happens every day right now. To receive the rewards that God has promised us is what happens if we persevere. We have to be faithful. We have to do what is the will of God. That's the only way we will please Him. As I said, because some will shrink away. Hebrews 10 says, "For we know Him who said, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay.'" And again, "The Lord will judge His people." You know, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God has so many blessings and so many rewards for us. Sometimes they're sitting on our laps and we don't even think about it. But I'll tell you what, last night when my granddaughter came up and cuddled with me while the fireworks were going off, I was about that high off the ground. Sometimes when you look at the person beside you and know that what you have gone through in your lifetime, how close you've come to losing that person because of strife, conflict, hard-headedness, or whatever. For those of us that have been through the battles of alcoholism, drugs, so many other things, everything in there that led us back, survival, was a blessing. The fact that we even have these facilities is a blessing. The fact that you can be here is a blessing. The fact that you can, I could go on and on and on and on and on, but we're limited in time. So, I got a challenge for you. Go into your Bibles and look up all of the verses that talk about God's promises. You're going to find that there's well over 200 of them. And some of them talk about simple little things. Some of them talk about very complex, deep things. But through it all, what you're going to see is that the message is the same. God loves us. And just as you want to take care of and bless those that you love, God pours it out on us by the handfuls, the bucketfuls, more than we can ever realize or be thankful for. And the thing that we're going to find is that God provides and has unstoppable rewards for us all. You can't stop them. We will continue to march to the end. But when we get to that end, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful world it will be. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Think about that. The rewards you're going to receive, but more important, how much you need to be thankful to God for what you're receiving now and for what is to come. And think about the awesome God that He is. And in the process of doing that, I think you'll find that maybe you need to be a little more reverent. Maybe you need to be in a little more awe of that God that is unstoppable. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much that sometimes I'm ashamed. Sometimes, Lord, I know that I am weak and I am feeble and my prayers to You are just dribble. But, Lord, I thank You. I thank You overwhelmingly for how You have loved me, have blessed me, and continue to love and bless me. I pray, Father, that You'll help me to grow in You, to become more the righteous one of faith that you talk about. Help us all, Lord, to see you in new eyes that see how glorious you are, and therefore will be more reverent and will stand more in awe of you. Because, Lord, we are not the center of the universe like we think you are. Bless us this day as we look forward to the rewards that you have for us today and in the future. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.